I figure you need to laugh a little bit because we're about to dive into Jeremiah 15 and it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And one of the reasons that this passage jumped out at me is because it has a lot of mirrors to our own society. I think that there are some people in our country that God has made a decision. We'll deal with this. I think our nation as a whole is quickly coming to a point where God could say, stop praying, this is coming. I mean, when we have people in legislatures celebrating because it's now legal to have an abortion all the way up to the moment of birth, when people celebrate that, how can God not come to the place that he says, stop praying, that's enough? When we've got little boys being dressed as girls and celebrated as some kind of social mover and shaker while wicked people dance all around him, and we say, that's society moving forward. How long before God says, stop praying, I'm done with this? Well, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God's a long-suffering God and that God's a patient God? But even that, he has a limit. And that's enough. And that's where they find themselves here in Judah. They've reached a point that God has told Jeremiah, that's enough. Stop praying. This is it. They're either going to die from famine, they're going to die from disease, they're going to die from the sword, or they're going to be carried away captive and they're going to die in Babylon. But they're going to die. I've had enough. And can you imagine what Jeremiah must be feeling? These are people that he loves. Yeah, he doesn't have a friend in the world, but these are people that he loves. And then he says, but Lord, they're not going to like this message. They might even try to kill me. God says, I'll take care of it. But Lord, I don't even know if I'm hearing you right anymore. I mean, I got all these other prophets saying everything's going to be all right. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. God says, no, you're not. Right now, you're the only one I'm speaking to. And things look mighty bad. But then God takes Jeremiah's mind and heart and he turns him towards a moment in the past. Back when Jeremiah first surrendered. Back when Jeremiah was excited. Boy, you remember that? You remember when you first got into serving the Lord and how excited you were? And God takes him back to that time and he reminds him of one specific element of that time period. And as Jeremiah thinks on that one element, all of a sudden, there's hope. All of a sudden, there's strength. All of a sudden, there's grace and some measure of peace. What is that one element? We find it in verse number 16 of Jeremiah 15. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. In the midst of all this darkness, we see a glimmer of hope. And that hope is settled in the Word of God. Can I tell you something, friend? Whatever you're facing today, your hope is settled in the Word of God. Nowhere else but the Word of God. I'd like to speak to you on that subject. Refocusing on the Word. Refocusing on the Word. Father, I'm unfit to bring this message except that you've called me to do so. I don't focus on your word like I should. I'm not the prayer warrior I should be. I fail you in so many ways. But Lord, as best I know at this moment, I'm right with you and I want to remain so. I want you to be able to use me, Father. And if there's something in my life that's displeased you, would you show it to me that I might make it right? I want to be a help to your people, Lord. If there's somebody here today that's never trusted Christ, I pray they trust Christ before it's too late. I pray that Christians would get exactly what they need as we refocus on your word, and may Jesus be lifted up in it. Help us today, we pray. Do what only you can do. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen and amen. The word of God. You hold it in your hand. We use the term so frequently, I think we've lost the import and the power of it. The Word of God. If Brother Davies comes to me with a prayer request and I look at him and I say, I'm going to be praying about that, you have my word. That's something, but it's not everything. But we have God's word. Let that sink in. The Almighty Creator of the universe has a message for you, for me. Let's refocus on the Word, shall we? Let's begin, first of all, by understanding that this is a matter of intention. It's a matter of intention. Look at verse number 16. Thy words were what? Found. That means somebody was looking for them. We have this idea, as Christians especially, that if we just have a Bible sitting in our house, that, you know, spiritual osmosis will take place and it'll just find its way into our hearts. No, it has to be a matter of intent. Nobody grows in the Word of God except when they do so on purpose. Otherwise, when you go to bed at night, just lay your Bible on your face and see how much of it sinks in while you sleep. That's silly, isn't it? But that's really how we live. That's really how we live. Well, I got a Bible. What do you do with it? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you obey it? It's a matter of intention. It's a matter of on purpose. Jeremiah says, thy words were found. We went after this thing on purpose. What did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I tell you, all through that verse is the idea of labor. The word study has the idea of labor. Workman has the idea of labor. Rightly dividing has the idea of labor. But we've got a whole bunch of lazy Christians that while they may possess a Bible, God's word doesn't possess them. And if they read the Bible at all, it's when the preacher says, open up to this chapter, this verse of this book on Sunday mornings. Can I tell you something, friend? If you're going to grow as a Christian, and if you're going to make it through the dark times that are all around us, you better be picking up the Word of God and studying it on purpose every day of your life. When people come to me and they've got issues and problems, one of the first questions I ask is, how much time are you spending in the Word of God? Well, that's just a crutch that preachers use. They just throw that out there like it's not. No, I'm telling you, if you want to make it through this world, you better be in the Word of God and you better do it intentionally. It's a matter of intention. Number two, it's a matter of internalization. Watch this. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Now, Jeremiah is not saying that he physically took a scroll, put some hot sauce on it, and had a meal. What he's saying is, I took God's word from without, and I made sure it got within. The psalmist has something to help us with this. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How many people, especially Christians, Your life is surrounded by the Word of God. You go to church. You have Christian family. Maybe you even on the outside look like you know the Word of God, but it doesn't seem to have very much root on the inside. How often do we leave church with the very real understanding that God spoke to me? Our preacher, depends on what you preach. Let me tell you something. When the Word of God is preached, there's always something for me. The main thrust of that message may not be my situation, but there is something. But here's the difference between the people that feel that way and the people that don't. The people that always feel that way have come to church expecting to internalize the Word of God. They've expected to take what God has and put it inside and put it to work. There's a lot of people that look like they've got the Word of God on the outside, but not too many people have the Word of God on the inside. This was a matter of intention, and it was a matter of internalization, but then thirdly, it's a matter of inspiration. Now, what do I mean by inspiration? Here's the question I would ask about that. What moves you? What moves you emotionally? As I've gotten older, that list has changed. The things that used to move me emotionally, they're silly looking back on it. I joked about the Redskins. I can remember times that I would watch a Redskin game and I would get so mad. Now, God has helped me with that. He has helped me with that by giving us a team that has stunk for so long that I am numb to it. It's just like kicking a dead horse now. I mean, I'm just... Interception, I don't care. Touchdown, other team, I don't care. You know, I don't feel it anymore. But can I be honest with you? As I've walked with the Lord a little ways and I've gotten older, the reality is, good or bad, it doesn't move me like it used to. Let me tell you what moves me. What moves me is seeing people that I baptize their kids. That moves me. What moves me is seeing young people show up for door-to-door visitation and joyfully scream as they run out the bus, "I've been deployed." What moves me is to knock on a door and a lady who's Jewish actually stand and listen and offer me hope that I'll be able to talk with her again. What moves you? Does the Word of God move you? Look what he says. "Thy words were found," that's intention. "And I did eat them," that's internalization. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." That's inspiration. When's the last time you were reading Scripture and you internalized it and it moved you? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's talking to me, and that moves me. "Hey, Andy, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That moves me. Hey, Andy, I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hey, Andy, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When's the last time the Word of God moved you? Jeremiah says, listen, I intended to get it. And I internalized it. And it inspired me. But then look. It goes from intention to internalization to inspiration. Let me give you a couple verses. Luke 11:28. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Some ladies screamed out, some people screamed out to Jesus while he was teaching. And Jesus lovingly corrected it and said, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, if you want to be moved, you hear the word of God and keep it. That's what moves you. Let me give you another one real quick. Psalm 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What's he saying? If you'll let it, God's word will inspire you. It's a matter of intention and internalization and inspiration. But can I tell you what else? It's a matter of identification. All of this leads Jeremiah to be reminded of his identity. Thy words were found, that's intention. And I did eat them, that's internalization. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, inspiration. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm not identified with Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not identified with Jehoiakim. I'm not identified with Josiah. I'm not identified with Hezekiah. I'm not identified with Ashurbanipal or Sennacherib or any of the rest of them. I'm identified with the Lord God of hosts. And when you dig into the Word of God on purpose, intention, and you internalize it, and it inspires you, it brings you to this ultimate truth. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 119:11. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage. What's that? That's who I am. What's your heritage? The Word of God. It identifies me. What identifies you to a lost and dying world is whether or not you live according to the Word of God. Well, the world sees me as a Baptist. Shame. The world sees me as an independent Baptist. Shamer. The world sees me as an independent fundamental Baptist. Shamist. How should the world see us? As somebody that believes and obeys the Word of God. Because I got news for you. Though I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, we don't always get it right. But you live according to the Word of God, you'll always get it right. I know what you're thinking. That's the only verse. He's used it all. The sermon's over. You haven't been paying attention to me, have you? There's something else to be gotten from this. It would be enough for us to take this and leave with it and say, I need to get better about my relationship to the Word of God. But there's something else we need to be reminded of. I don't know why you would want to, but you cannot separate the Word of God from the God of the Word. And I think it's important that we be reminded of that. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You're familiar with this, but it bears repeating. John begins his magnum opus with these words. In the beginning, by the way, did you know that the book of John covers the earliest account of Scripture? It's not the earliest book, but John goes back further than anybody else, including Moses. Because John is dealing with something pre-creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let's make very clear exactly which member of the Godhead we're talking about. Verse 14. And the Word, which is God, right, was made flesh and dwelt among us. What am I saying? You cannot separate the Word of God from Jesus Christ. And how you handle, believe, and apply the Word of God is a direct reflection on how you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I be blunt? If you don't love God's Word, you don't love Jesus. Now, why is that important? Because I meet people and hear about people all the time. Well, I love the Lord and I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't want to get caught up in doctrine and I'm not interested in this. Then you don't love Jesus. Because you can't love Jesus without loving His Word. Because this Bible is the written manifestation of God. Everything we need to know about Jesus, we know from this book. And if you don't love this book, then you don't love Jesus. If this book isn't important to you, then Jesus isn't important to you. And if you're not following this book, you are not following Jesus. I am sick and tired of these drive-through religions where everybody wants to throw the name of Jesus around, but they're not living according to the book. I'm just very spiritual. I can't think of a word strong enough to use for that. Hogwash comes to mind. You see, we want to talk about how we love the God of the Word, but we don't love the Word of God. So let's go back through. We're going to go back through this verse and see if it applies to Jesus. Let's go back to intention. Has anybody ever accidentally gotten saved? Has anybody ever gotten saved against their will? No. If they got saved, it's because they intended to. Nobody ever meets Jesus by accident. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let's go back to the verse. Thy words were found. If you want to walk with Christ, it will be intentional. It will be because you decide to, and by God's grace you follow through on it. It will not be because you accidentally become spiritual. We keep waiting for some kind of epiphany to happen. We keep waiting for some kind of spiritual experience to drop on our head. It's not going to happen. If you serve God, it's because you determined by God's grace on purpose, I intend to serve the God of the Word. And if you don't, it'll never happen. How about internalization? What about that? Thy words were found and I did eat them. Do you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus made a statement that really rubbed people the wrong way? He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Remember that? By the way, don't be too hard on those folks. We would have been like, what? We'd have been there too. You understand that Jesus was not speaking literally. And by the way, the Catholics have a doctrine called transubstantiation, in which they believe that when you take of the bread and drink of the wine, that in your body it literally becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They believe that. That's not what the Bible teaches. They are incorrect in that doctrine. You say, well, that's just not a big deal. Martin Luther thought it was. Now, he didn't get as far away from it as he should have. But can I tell you something? When you eat the bread and drink of the juice at our Lord's Supper observances, it stays that. It never becomes anybody. That's not what Jesus was saying. You know what He was saying? You've got to internalize me. It's not enough that I be on the outside of you. You need me to be on the inside of you. Let me give you a couple verses. How about Galatians chapter 4? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed where? In you. How about let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me give you one more. Still in Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell where? In you. You're never going to do anything for God if you leave Him on the exterior. You've got to internalize Him. First of all, in salvation, but then in sanctification and service. You see, this is a matter of intention. It's a matter of internalization. But then, it's the matter of inspiration. Remember what we said about inspiration? What moves you? Let me just ask you a simple question. Does Jesus move you? Now, last Friday night, and I'm not being mean here. I've been there too. Maybe George Wythe moved you. Fort Chiswell moved you. You know, almost said Bland. They didn't have a team this year, did they? Maybe your favorite high school. The high school you went to. You went to the football game and it moved you. That's great. I like a good football game too. But I'm asking you this. When's the last time you thought on the Lord Jesus Christ and how good He's been to you and all that He's done for you, culminating in His death, burial, and resurrection? When's the last time a thought of Jesus Christ moved us and inspired us to be better than we could be? But we'll get moved watching a movie. That was so, what a story that was. You realize it's all make-believe, right? Hey, men, let me talk to you for a minute. If you're crying watching movies, if you got a man card, you need to turn it in. It's make-believe, y'all. There's only one movie you're allowed to cry at, and that's Old Yeller. Old Yeller is it. He didn't really shoot that dog. I don't know. He might have. It moved me that much. But we get moved by stupid things, don't we? My goodness. Facebook's bad about putting stuff on there meant to move you. That's all fine and good, but when's the last time Jesus moved you? When's the last time the one who died a horrible, terrible death and suffered your hell and took your sin upon Himself, when's the last time a thought of Him moved you? Amen. When's the last time He inspired you? Oh, I don't know if anybody ever says this, but I go to fellowship because that preacher, he just inspires me. Then I did it wrong because I meant for Jesus to inspire you. Philippians chapter 3. I can't see that one. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. Tell me if you think Jesus moved Paul, inspired Paul. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. Does that sound like Jesus moved Paul? Does that sound like Jesus inspired Paul? He ought to inspire us too. Because you know what? Jesus has done no less for us than He ever did for Paul. He saved you from the same hell, and He's put you on the same path. He should move us. He should inspire us. You see, Jesus is a matter of intention. He's a matter of internalization. He's a matter of inspiration. And oh, the joy when it sinks in to our hearts and souls that He is a matter of identification. I identify with Christ. Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. By the way, there's that internalization again. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who does Paul identify with in that verse? Christ, even to the point of identifying with his cross. Let me give you another one. Remember, we're talking about how Jesus and the Word are inseparable, and you want to be identified with Jesus. The only way you can be identified with Jesus is through the Word. What Paul tell the Romans in Romans chapter 10? So then faith, being identified with Christ, cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You can't separate them. Here's the so what. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Then I assume you love his word. It's amazing to me. You see it in the media and Hollywood and things like that. I'm thinking of one guy in particular. Lives like the devil. Puts out music that's devilish. Acts in a devilish way. But he'll tell you he's a follower of Jesus. I'll tell you that. Well, you ought not judge. Show me in the Bible where it says that. May I remind you, when Jesus said judge not, he wasn't saying not to judge. He was saying how to judge. I can't judge anybody whether or not they're saved or lost. I'm just telling you, this kid does not look like he's saved. And here's what I do know from the Word of God. You can say you're a Jesus follower all you want to, but Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you want to say, Andy, I love the Lord. Well, Jesus commanded we be in his house. If you love me, keep my commandments. I sure do love the Lord. Then Jesus told us that we're a witness to others. If you love me, keep my commandments. I sure do love the Lord. But Jesus said we're to live lives that are holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. If you love me, keep my commandments. I sure do love the Lord. Jesus in his word taught us to give. If you love me, keep my commandments. I sure do love the Lord. Jesus in his word taught us how our attitudes ought to be and how our mindset ought to be and how our thinking ought to be. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, it's not me you got to convince. God already knows whether or not you love him. So let's go back to Jeremiah. And we'll start with the word of God. You'll forgive me a doctrinal paraphrase, won't you? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God is to be a matter of intention, internalization, inspiration, and identification. But now, would you allow me, if Jesus and his word are inseparable, then we should be able to substitute Jesus for his word in this verse. Jesus was found, and I did eat him. And he was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by his name. It works, doesn't it? So here's my question for us all. Do we love Jesus? Do we love his word? If not, it is time for us to refocus.